if you're not normally here on a Thursday night, there's something that we do. I want you to stand up. Give this young lady, look at her pushing right in front of me, taking her. Come on. Let her know you love her tonight. Come on.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm so thankful to be able to be here tonight, continually be here, and just share the love of Christ with every single one of you and those watching online. And my prayer is that God continues to use all of us in the areas and in the places that he wants us to be used. And I'm so excited that we have some of the dance team from Divine Dance here tonight. You are going to be blessed. I'm so excited to have them with us tonight. Throughout the night, they'll be dancing throughout the message. So it's going to be a fun night. So this was taken from Fortunately.com. It says, Christmas is one of the biggest, most significant holidays in the USA. This is a time of year when people get together, enjoy some good old family time, and of course spend copious amounts of money. 32.8 million real Christmas trees were sold during the last holiday season. They don't know for this year yet. More than 60% of U.S. consumers prefer to buy their holiday gifts online. Any online shoppers? Okay, real-life shoppers like stores? Yeah, okay. More than 60% of Americans buy their gifts a week before Christmas. That gives me, Cassandra, that gives me anxiety, like, thinking about that. 66% of holiday shoppers will pay more for sustainable products with younger generations, leading the way. And 22% of Americans believe their Christmas spending will leave them in debt. So why are we going through this? Why are you telling me about these statistics of money and food and gifts? Well, tonight I want to bring up the topic of remembering Christmas. Remembering Christmas. Because it's easy to get caught up in the gifts and the gift giving and the buying and the spending and the stuff for your kids and your family and putting on a delicious Christmas spread and the decorations and the lights. And I love all that stuff. Trust me, I love it all. It's one of my favorite seasons and I love it. I'd be lying if I told you I didn't. However, that stuff is just stuff. And in the end, that stuff is not what gets your eye through the season or through any season for that matter. Two women were having lunch in a fancy hotel and they were approached by a mutual friend. And she came up to them and said, what's the occasion for this meal? And the one lady said, well, we're celebrating the birth of my son. And all excited, she's like looking for him. She's like, well, where is he? And the mom says, you don't think I would bring him with me, do you? And I thought, what a picture that is of the way the world treats Jesus at this time. We want to celebrate. We want to do all the celebrating and do all this fun stuff. But then we end up leaving Jesus out of it. And so tonight we're going to walk through a journey of remembering Christmas. Because while it's a joyous time of the year, we also recognize, as Pastor said, that it's a time for some people of hurt and loneliness. And we want you to know that you are not alone. We want to walk with you through every season. And we don't want to leave Jesus out of it. So tonight we remember that not only is Jesus the gift, the reason, but how can we honor him throughout this holiday time? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for every person here. Open up our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes to what you would have us walk away with tonight. Use your servant in Jesus' name, amen. So there's a song many of you know called The Little Drummer Boy. And The Little Drummer Boy was actually recorded in 1941 by Catherine K. Davis. And the story behind The Little Drummer Boy is a story of a poor boy who couldn't afford a gift for the newborn Jesus. So he played the drum at the manger with Mary's approval. The story says that the baby smiled, delighted with the little drummer boy's skillful playing. And I thought about this song, and it's not really, you know, it's a song, and we hear it on, you know, play the drums. Parker and Steve did an amazing job last week if you were here. If you didn't, you got to go back and listen to it. It's amazing, right? And while this is a fiction song, because what mother actually wants a young boy playing drums in her newborn baby's ear? Who knows, right? If you really think about the meaning behind this song, it's actually very moving. Because this little boy looked around wanting a gift for the newborn Jesus, Christ child, right? And he saw what everybody else was bringing, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And he looked around and he said, well, what do I have to bring? What do I have to offer? And how often have you felt like you have nothing to give? How often have you felt that what you have to give is nothing compared to those around you? But what this little boy did was he gave God what he had in his hands. He gave God his talent, his very best. And because, as the song says, he played his drums, his very best, the song goes on to say that Jesus smiled at that. This Christmas season, let's remember to use the talents that you have. There's a saying and a quote, many of us have heard it and have quoted it, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with that is your gift back to God. So what can we bring to God? Well, we can bring him our gifts and our talents. In 1 Corinthians 12:4, it says there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. You see, you have talents to give. And some of you have talents that are yet to be seen. Maybe you're scared because somebody said something to you before. Maybe you are worried of what someone will say with your talent. You see, there's a variety of talents, not only just in singing and music and talents that you can see, but there's talents. There's people here that when you smile, you light up a room. You should be greeting. There's people here that you can pray the paint off the walls. Have you prayed? Are you giving that talent to God? What gifts and talents can you bring to him this Christmas season? In 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. It doesn't have to be gold, frankincense, or myrrh. Jesus wants you. He wants your heart. What talent have you held on to that you should be bringing to Jesus this Christmas season? Nice job, ladies. Isn't that awesome how they're giving their gifts back to God tonight? Amen. Remember, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Are you using your gifts? Remember to bring them to God this season. Second thing that we have to do to remember Christmas is remember to find happiness. So I was at the gas station a couple days ago. I do not like putting gas in my car. I usually bring it in my parking or my driveway empty, and then I'm like, hey, Ben, I need gas. Or I'm like, hey, Ben, why don't you take the truck, you know? So I was at the gas station. It was cold. It was windy. And I'm looking at the pump to make sure I don't go over a certain amount of money, you know? So I'm like this. I'm getting mad. I'm like, oh, it's so cold. I don't want to be out here. I should have just waited for Ben to put gas in my car. I don't want to be here. And in the midst of that, I'm thinking about tonight. And just the thought came across me like, okay, but what are you thankful for right now? I was like, I'm not thankful for anything. I'm cold. And I let, you know, just calm down a little bit. And then I'm like, okay, I'm thankful I have money to put gas in my car. I'm thankful I have a truck. Thankful I'm able to do this, you know, and little by little, I just started to find that joy, find that happiness in the midst of the moment. It's a silly illustration, but as I began to think about that, we have to have that mindset that we're going to find something to be thankful for. We're going to find something to be happy about in that moment, right? There's a story of a lady who went into yoga class, and as she was walking in, the instructor looked at her and said, "Leave your worries at the door." And she kind of looked at the instructor and she said, "Don't worry, I can guarantee you your worries will still be there when you get off the mat." And I thought, why is that? Why do we feel that if we stop worrying, that our life is just going to unravel? Like our worry somehow makes our life feel put together, right? But we have to remember that which you hold, holds you. So if you're in a constant state of worry, then that's what's holding you. And that's not healthy for anyone. Am I the only one that does that? Yeah, I'm just the only one that talks about it, right? So you have to remember that if you're holding on to Jesus, he's holding on to you. But if you're holding on to the worry and the stress and the anxiety, that's what's gripping you. And that's not, like I said, healthy for anyone. And then when we bring Jesus those things, it's then that we can feel free. Jesus doesn't want us to feel alone or to feel burdened at this time or any time. In Matthew, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, when Jesus said that, he knew years later that when people were reading that, they would know that the yoke of an oxen kept two of them together as they plowed the fields for a new season of crop planting. And what that meant is that the stronger ox would lead the weaker ox one row at a time towards the completion of their task. And Jesus is the stronger one in this illustration by far. He's telling you, let me help you. Give your worries to me. Let me take them upon you so that you don't have to worry about it. Let me hold you. Let me be the stronger one as you walk through life. We were at the gym one time and we were doing partner deadlifts. So for those of you that don't know, a deadlift is you have the bar across here and you have weights on each end and you go down and you pick up the bar and then you drop it because it's super heavy. And so partner deadlifts were, I was actually with Malachi and he just kept putting weights on the end and I'm like, what in the world, bud? What are you doing? Like if I tried to pick up that bar by myself, I would like have a broken back or have a hernia or something. But we did it as soon as we, you know, crossed arms and we went 1, 2, 3 and we picked it up together. We were able to do it together. Kai was definitely the stronger one in that moment. But I thought about how in life, that's how Jesus wants us to roll. That's how he wants us to walk. He wants to be the stronger one in the relationship and he wants us to give those worries to him. And when we allow him to do that, that's when those worries and those doubts and the weaknesses slowly fade away. Because in our weakness, he is strong. There's a quote, I love quotes, and I know pastors quoted it, I know I've quoted it before, but it goes like this: worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You see, we have to remember that we are blessed, even though we're stressed. And when we realize that, when we come to him and put his yoke upon us, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light, then we can begin to enjoy the moment. We can find happiness in the midst of our struggle, and we can start to be present. We don't have to worry so much. And this Christmas season, my prayer is that we can worry less and remember to find happiness in the midst of the season.
In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're at peace tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Gone away is the bluebird. Here to stay is the new bird. He sings a love song as we go along.
Walking in a winter wonderland. Here's a little song I wrote. You might wanna sing it note for note. Don't worry,
don't worry.
Be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
Nice job, girls. I think that song, it's been played a lot at our house, because I think that song is very profound for us in this season. That just let go. Don't worry. Find happiness in the season. A cheerful heart does good like a medicine, is what the Bible says. So let's remember to find happiness. And the last thing tonight, let's remember the hope that we have this Christmas season. I don't know who said it, but there's a quote that says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. You see, in the book of Genesis, in the beginning of the world, Adam and Eve had it made. However, sin entered into the world, and from then on, humanity needed a Savior, needed grace, needed forgiveness. In Isaiah 7:14, we see the birth of Jesus prophesied. It says, all right, then the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, a virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And then over 700 years later, Jesus, our Savior, was born into the world. And he was born as a sign of that prophecy being fulfilled. And he was born so that we may receive grace and forgiveness and mercy. And for all those years, people were looking for hope. They were looking for this sign that there would be grace in this world. They were looking for somebody to believe in, to come in and say, you are forgiven. They were without hope. In Ephesians 2:12, it says, in those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Without God and without hope. You see, until I've found Jesus as my Savior, I didn't have that hope of what we talk about tonight. Because as soon as Jesus was born, it says in Matthew 12:21, it says, in his name, the nations will put their hope. So hope is commonly used to mean a wish, right? We say things like, oh, I hope our family gets together for Christmas, or I hope that everyone gets along, or I hope for those Nike Air Force Ones, Ben, for Christmas. And this hope is a wish, right? Its strength is in the strength of the person's desire. However, in the Bible, hope is a confident expectation of what God has promised to us. And its strength is in his faithfulness. Because of Jesus, because Jesus was born, we have hope for the future. The Bible says we have a future and a hope. Because Jesus was born, we have hope for the present. The Bible says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And because Jesus was born, we have hope from our past, because our failures are not greater than God's power to transform. The Bible says he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We need to hold on to that hope this Christmas season. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's focus our attention on who and what matters this Christmas season. And this is from the Advent study that PJ&J is doing on Wednesday night. It says, the hope and joy of this season is not yours to create. We don't have to task ourselves with making everything perfect. God sent his son to be our light in the world, and he is a beacon of hope our hearts are desperate for. He is the beacon of hope that our hearts are destined for.
Hallelujah.
Nice job, ladies. That word hallelujah means God be praised. And when you put your hope in him, that's what you want to do. You just want to praise him. Tonight, there's lyrics in that song that we just listened to. It says, let there be peace on earth. Let the lonely join together. Let them know their worth. Let the children know there's a brighter day ahead. Let's hold on to hope. And this is my prayer for every single one of us tonight. In Romans 15:13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. We need hope every day. We need Jesus every day. Let's remember to give him our talents this Christmas season. Let's remember to find happiness. And let's remember to hold on to hope. There's brighter days ahead. And let's remember Christmas. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the talents and gifts that were displayed so beautifully tonight. I pray that we continue just give you everything, God. Thank you for your gift and help us to remember Christmas and everything that we do, God. Just ask that you would bless every person that's here tonight. Help us to remember the hope that you came for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, can you give it up for Pastor Aaron tonight? And the dancers tonight, come on, can we let them know how much we appreciated them being here? And for all the parents and the grandparents, if you can get YouTube on your television, just go to the City Church. I think it's the City Church NY. Is that right, Aaron, for YouTube? Okay. You'll find it. and that it'll be there, and it's on our website at thecitychurch.com. So great to be here in God's house tonight. Pastor Aaron, I want you to come on up here, if you would. Actually, bring Malachi, stand right up here with you. I don't want to close tonight unless, you know, everyone feels right in their heart. And as we're dismissing tonight, if you need prayer for anything tonight, come on up and let them pray with you and for you from all of us. We just want to tell you Merry Christmas. What an incredible night. Next Thursday night, two of the greatest singers in the whole Western New York region will be here, Carrie Cardinelli Shaw and Carlton Wilcox, right back again. It'll be a Christmas night that you will not want to miss. It's just going to be incredible. I want to pray, and then if you need prayer personally, come on up. Let these pray for you here tonight. Lord, thank you for your grace and your great and incredible love to each one of us. I pray, Lord, that tonight, that as your word went forth, that it touched and impacted lives. I pray for everyone that is here, those that are watching online. Lord, that as we move through this Christmas season, you will become more real to us than we have ever known before. And Lord, for those, I pray, some that have never given their lives to you, I pray that even tonight and during the season, that they will just say yes to Jesus. Lord, tonight, I thank you and I praise you for your kindness and your goodness. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said a big amen. Put your hands together one more time for this beautiful night. We love you. Merry Christmas to all of you. If you need prayer for anything, come on down. Aaron, Malachi, we'll pray for you. God bless you.